Investment Flash.
The boardrooms are on fire today, buddy. Between a sudden leadership vacuum at one of the world's biggest oil majors and a $1 trillion gift for the banks, the New York session is looking like a stock picker's dream.
Look, it's May 26th, 2026, and you're listening to the New York edition of Investment Flash. I'm Marie, joined by Tom and Gerald, and we are tracking a market that is finally starting to differentiate the winners from the governance nightmares.
Yeah, look, honestly, the thing is that differentiation is usually just another word for investors finally reading the fine print. We have BP losing its chairman over conduct concerns, and banks basically getting a license to print money via deregulation.
Gerald, for real, you're calling it fine print? BP removed Albert Manifold as chairman immediately. Governance standards, oversight, conduct, that's not fine print. That's a full-blown crisis.
To be fair, conduct issues in a boardroom is usually just code for we realized we didn't have a plan for the energy transition and needed a scapegoat. The stock dropped about 5% last session, and it's still 14% below its 52-week high.
Wait a second, Gerald. This isn't just about the transition. When both Bloomberg and the Wall Street Journal report a unanimous board decision for immediate removal, it signals a structural vacuum. I'm going to push back here. I don't think the governance discount is fully priced in yet.
Fair enough, Marie. But the thing is, while BP is scrambling for a replacement, their rivals in the banking sector are essentially being told the guardrails are coming off.
Oh, you mean that Financial Times report? $1.3 trillion in balance sheet expansion potential for the US and UK banks? No way!
$1.3 trillion.
That's massive.
Totally.
See, this is what I mean about policy lenses. The US and UK are loosening the strings, while the European Union and the Swiss are staying tight. It creates this massive competitive gap, where JP Morgan can just pull away from the pack.
Exactly. JP Morgan was up over 1% last session, but look at Lloyd's in London, up over 5% this week, because they're trading at only 0.7 times book value. They are the clear winners here, compared to someone like Deutsche Bank.
Poor Deutsche Bank, down nearly 13% year to date. It's like they're playing football with their shoelaces tied together, while JP Morgan is running a sprint.
Fair enough. Analysts revising price targets after a regulatory gift like this is basically a free retirement plan for the sell side.
Okay, but let's look at the tech side of this, because the momentum there is reaching a fever pitch. Tom, I know you've been watching those chart patterns.
Buddy, the flag patterns on Dell and ARM are beautiful. Dell surged nearly 17% last session alone. It's sitting just 1% below its 52-week high. For real, the breakout continuation there is a textbook buy.
Hold on. Not so fast. ARM has rallied over 42% in a single week. You're telling people to jump into a stock that's 3% off its all-time high after a move like that?
No, but that's exactly my point. This is a momentum chase. When Katie Stockton identifies these bullish flags, you don't argue with the tape. Lam Research has another 23% projected upside based on the measured move.
Honestly, Tom, calling for more upside on a chip stock that's already doubled is like asking for a second dessert when you're already full. Eventually, the bill comes due.
Yeah, I know. I said that about semis last quarter too, and I was wrong then. Look at the earnings breath. MarketWatch is saying profit growth is the fastest it's been in 5 years. And it's not just the Magnificent Seven anymore.
Actually, Tom, that's a great pivot. The equal weight S&P 500 ETF, ticker RSP, just hit a 52-week high. That is the signal that the rotation we talked about in the London edition yesterday is actually gaining legs.
Right. And if the equal weight index is outperforming, it means the concentration risk is finally easing. But that brings us to the Berkshire Hathaway problem. They're sitting on nearly $400 billion in cash, and the stock is down 4% this year.
Wait a second. $400 billion in cash? And they're underperforming the S&P 500 by 13% year to date? That's a massive red flag for the old school conglomerate model.
No way, Gerald. You're finally turning on Warren Buffett? This is a historic day.
Oh, come on. It's not about turning on him. It's about math. Their relative edge is back to 2007 levels. If they can't find a way to deploy that cash, investors are going to keep fleeing to the passive index. Honestly, it's a perfect short leg for a pair trade.
I agree. Long the equal weight S&P 500 and short Berkshire. It captures the broadening earnings story while shedding the weight of a company that's essentially becoming a giant underperforming bank.
Spot on.
Nailed it.
All right, before we move to the global picture, just a quick reminder for everyone listening, none of this is investment advice. We're analysts having a conversation. Do your own research and consult a professional before making any moves.
Speaking of moves, did you guys see the story about AI hitting Main Street? The Wall Street Journal is reporting that bakeries and small businesses are the ones driving the next wave of adoption. This isn't just a Microsoft story anymore.
Well, clearly it's not a Microsoft story, because Microsoft is down over 11% year to date and 25% below its high. If the Main Street AI wave was working for the big players, wouldn't Microsoft be the one catching the bid?
See, this is what I mean. The small business adoption is great for the AI and tech ETF, which is near its highs, but it suggests the massive enterprise spend might be hitting a plateau. I'm holding Microsoft here, not buying the dip.
Fair point, but look at the mergers and acquisitions angle. The Financial Times is saying the whole world is racing to control fiber and compute. That's why the semiconductor ETF is up 54% this year. People are buying the infrastructure because they know the demand is structural.
The thing is, most of that infrastructure play is already priced to perfection. I'm looking at the lithium recovery instead. Mineral Resources is expanding its mine in Australia with a $490 million investment. That's a real-world vote of confidence.
Calling the bottom on lithium again, Gerald? That's about the fourth bottom we've seen this cycle.
Ha! Yeah. But the lithium ETF is still 7% below its high. It's got room to run if commodity prices actually firm up.
I'll give you lithium if you give me India. The data center boom there is insane, even if they aren't building the chips themselves. The India ETF is down over 11% this year. That's a huge value play for an economy that's basically becoming the world's back office for AI compute.
I like the India trade, Tom, but we have to talk about the elephant in the room, the yuan. Macquarie is calling for the Chinese yuan to hit 5 per dollar. That is the most original and honestly the most terrifying take I've seen all week.
It's a massive contrarian bet. They're saying Chinese firms have $1 trillion stashed away from the pandemic years. If they start repatriating that, it's going to force a rapid appreciation that will catch the entire FX market off guard.
Wait, so if the yuan gets that strong, does it save the China large cap ETF? Because that thing is near its 52-week lows right now.
It could. A stronger yuan reverses the capital flight. But capital controls are the wild card. Honestly, if you're betting on the yuan hitting 5, you're betting on a total regime shift in how China manages its currency. It's high risk, high reward.
Exactly. And let's not forget the geopolitical side. The Iran peace talks are going nowhere, according to the Wall Street Journal, and the United States oil fund is still holding on to massive gains from its lows. That geopolitical premium isn't going anywhere yet.
Right, though gold has definitely lost its luster lately. The gold ETF is 19% below its high. It's like the war bid just evaporated overnight.
That's because the market is focused on earnings and deregulation, not doomsday scenarios. It's a very specific, tactical tape right now.
Totally. It feels like the volatility is hiding under the surface while individual stocks just rip higher.
Yeah, look. Just don't get caught chasing those tech flags when the 2-year yield starts moving. We've got inflation data later this week, and the Fed hasn't spoken yet.
That's the reality check we needed. It's a stock picker's market until the macro environment says otherwise. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with all the charts and sources we mentioned today.
Great show today, guys. BP is the mess to watch, and JP Morgan is the king of the castle.
I'm going to go stare at those Dell charts for another hour.
Try not to buy the top, buddy. Honestly, I'm just looking forward to seeing if that Yuan call actually has legs.
We'll see. We're back tomorrow's London edition at 7:30 a.m. London time. See you then.
Markets.